Now that you're here. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy word this morning, believing you are the word, and therefore we are entering into thy presence. And believing, Father, that you have come down in this hour to give us life and to change this vile body into the likeness of your Son. Be with us today as we would open thy word. May we reverently handle thy word with all the fear and due respect that we have for thee as our sovereign King. Be with us, Father, in Jesus Christ's name throughout this service and this day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. From paragraph 96 of The Spoken Word is Original Seed, Brother Bram said, when God and His Word becomes one, hallelujah, that's when God's Spirit waters the seed of God, the Word of God, and it produces God. And it's not the individual, it's God. For you are dead. You're not yourself no more. You reckon yourself dead, hollowed out, waiting for the seed gene. What I see in what Brother Branham is saying is that God has given us as His seed an ability to die out to self, to not be focused upon our own self, not to be focused upon who we are or what we think we are, but to be focused upon what He is. And not just focused, but actually His very life, His very presence coming into us and living itself out in us. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 11 to 12, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. And if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. And if we deny Him, well, He also will deny us. So suffering and death are essential components of God molding and shaping us into the very image of His beloved firstborn Son. Now, Brother Brown continues in paragraph 96. He says, then what is it? It isn't you no more. It isn't the man, it's God in the man. It's a seed germ like the beginning spoken word. God's word made manifest in the man. Then it isn't the man. It isn't the man that's died. Are we willing to just die to self? You know, there's going to be a resurrection and a rapture one day. And if we cannot die to self, then we will suffer the second death. We must crucify ourselves, be crucified with Christ, that the life of Christ might live in us. And that's exactly what Paul said in Galatians 2:16. He said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ a minister of sin? Well, God forbid. For if I build again the things which I have destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it's not I, but Christ is living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. He loved me. And He gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Then Brother Branham adds in paragraph 96, he says, then let God plant His own life in you. Then it's not you no more, it's God's life. Because it's God's Word, watered by the Holy Spirit, and it will produce the same thing. We see in Romans 8 and verse 10, Paul says, and if Christ be in you, that's what Brother Branham's saying here. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. You see, that is what Brother Branham is saying when he says, let God plant his own life in you. Then it's not you no more. It's God's life. And in Romans 8 and 12, Paul adds, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, God's Spirit, bears witness with our own spirit that we are the children of God. And if the children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Paul said, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. And he that cannot suffer, he that's not willing to suffer, is not fit for God's Spirit to be in them. It is interesting that God's way is suffering. And if we're not willing to be rejected of men, we're not willing to allow the life of him to live in us. Now, verse 97, Brother Branham says, or paragraph 97. All right, manifested, the works manifested the same for us, for it is the same word. Now, if you want to do the works of Christ, do the same things that he done. He that believeth on me shall have my works. So what is that? Believeth what? That he is original seed germ that came. Well, if he's the original seed germ that came, then every seed after will be just like the original, because every seed after its kind. And remember, what were the works of Christ? You say, well, it was miracles and these things. Well, you know, Balaam had miracles. That didn't make him a son. No, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. You see, Jesus said, the Son can do nothing but what the Father shows him to do. And whatsoever the Father doeth, the Son doeth likewise. And so coming into the image of the Son is by coming into the image of the Father, walking in the light of the Father. Then Brother Branham says, now, the word that God spoke to multiply and replenish the earth, it couldn't find a place to land. Finally, the word caught into a womb of a virgin. And we'll speak of the two wombs this afternoon. And in the afternoon service, Brother Branham lets us know that there are two wombs, a physical womb and the womb of your mind. So I'd like to add here that when Brother Branham says there's two wombs, he's referring to the physical womb and the spiritual womb of the mind, where ideas are conceived and brought to life, where the Word of God can be implanted into your mind and come to life. Now back to the spoken word again, he says, and what happened? From him came forth the germ life, the thing that gives, the water that gives the kernel its chance to reproduce itself. The Spirit came out of him and it went up, in verse 98, or paragraph 98. Here we are, we come along. What happened? We believe it. We believe it. Now, what did Jesus say? He that believeth on me, see? He that believeth on me, the works that I do, the manifestation that the Holy Spirit come in the form of the dove, come upon me, and done this, not through high breeding, not through virgin born, but the course of life, like breeding a child. Not the course of life, like breeding a child, husband to wife. No, not that. Not a hybrid, but a virgin born. Now, through this, I'm giving this life, that if you by faith will accept what Father, all the prophets, all the Word of God, I will pour this life down upon you, and you can't do nothing else but produce the same thing that I am. There you are. You see, God wants Messiahs. He wants little gods. He wants little children of himself to be living out, as I said before, in your circumstances, in your part of your world, your life, to manifest himself to the acquaintances that you have on a daily basis. Verse 99, paragraph 99. The works that I do shall he do also. And what did he do? Just as the Father led him, what he saw. St. John 5:19. Just I do nothing till the Father shows me first. See, Brother Branham was saying this. People running around trying to say, well, I'm going to have these miracles. Listen, if God doesn't show you to do it, don't do it. Don't attempt it. Brother Bram says, right here, he says, and what did he do? What were the works? Just as the Father led him. What he saw. St. John 5:19. I do nothing till the Father shows me. What was he? Made himself a man. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God spoke in word through a virgin, brought forth a body, and in that body come the water, the Spirit, and washed by the water of the Word, and then went in him, dwelt in him, and there come the life of God manifesting himself through Christ. God was in Christ, the Anointed One. And didn't John say, you have an anointing from the Father? You see, God's not a respecter of persons. It's His desire that we all be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. And what was that image? He got out of the way. And He let the Father use His being, take a hold of His being, manifest His God life to a dying humanity. Now, I'd like to add to these wonderful thoughts that we have read here so far, and add to them some other thoughts that Brother Branham gave us in a letter that he sent to Brother Ernest Fenner and was made available to the public through Brother Robert Goff. In the letter is called The High Calling. And Brother Branham said, if God has called you to be like Jesus in all of your spirit, then He will draw you into a life of crucifixion and humility. And He will put on you such demands of obedience that He will not allow you to follow other Christians. In Romans 8:17, Paul says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. In 1 Corinthians 9:12, Paul says, and if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we are not used, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. We don't use the power of God for self-edification. We don't use it for self-glory. We use it to manifest our Father. And so Brother Branham continues in many ways. He will seem to let other good people do things which he would not let you do. Other Christians and ministers who seem very religious and useful may push themselves, pull wires, and work schemes to carry out their plans, but you cannot do it. And if you attempt to do it, you will meet with such failure and rebuke from the Lord as to make you sorely penitent. Others can brag on themselves, on their success, on their writings, but the Holy Spirit will not allow you to do any such thing. And if you begin to do it, He will lead you into some deep mortification that will make you despise yourself and all your good works. Brother Branham, at 56 years old, he said, me, an old man, what have I done for Him? Now, this deep mortification means that God will cause to come upon your soul a deep feeling of shame and humiliation for what you have attempted to do outside of His will for yourself. It is not that God will slam you to the earth for this, because He allows others to do it and get away with it without feelings or remorse or grief. But you are different. You are His to do with whatsoever He will, whatsoever He desires. And all you want to do is that which would be pleasing to Him. And thus you are smitten in your soul of your own violation or volition. That means of your own conscious choice and not because of fear of reprisal. In the book of Philemon, Paul called himself a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a prisoner is one who is not in control of his own destiny, but he's totally captive to another's will and another's purpose. A prisoner is a person held in custody, captivity, or a condition of forcible restraint, especially while on trial or serving a prison sentence. One who is deprived of freedom or expression of action. In other words, you're not your own. You get up when they tell you to get up. You do what they tell you to do. You eat when they tell you to eat. You're not your own. You see, it is God working in you to perform. It is not you yourself performing. In Philippians 2:13, Paul says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure." It's God Himself, His very life in you, working in you to will what He wills and to do what He would have you to do. You have no say in what God wants you to do. Brother Brown continues saying, "Others will be allowed to succeed in making great sums of money or having a legacy left to them or in having luxuries. But God may supply your daily, but God may supply you daily because He wants you to have something far better than gold, and that is helpless dependence on Him, that He may have privilege of providing your needs day by day out of His unseen treasury." Hear these words of a prophet, a yielded vessel of God. And God spoke this of His Son in Isaiah. In Isaiah 42 and verse 19, He said, "Who is blind but My servant? Or who is deaf as My messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect," that's complete, "and blind as the Lord's servant?" The Lord may let others be honored, Brother Branham says, and be put forward, but He will keep you hid away in obscurity. Because He wants to produce some choice, the fragrant fruit of His coming and His glory, which can only be produced in the shade. When we realize that we belong to Him, then we lay aside our own desires and we look to His will to be done. David, who was a man after God's own heart, he said in Psalm 100 and verse 3, "Know you that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and we are the sheep of His pasture." The Apostle Paul echoed the same words when he said that he was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, he says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained." That means God hath before set in order. God had predetermined that we should walk in them. And yet Brother Brown continues, "God will let others be great, but keep you small. He will make you work and toil on without knowing how much you're doing. And then to make you still more precious, He will let others get the credit for the work which you have been doing. And this will make your reward 10 times greater when Jesus comes. The Holy Spirit will put a strict watch on you with a jealous love and will rebuke you for little words and feelings or wasting of your time, which other Christians never seem to be distressed over. So make up your mind that God is an infinite sovereign and has a right to do as He pleases with His own. And He will not explain to you 1,000 things that may puzzle your reason in His dealings with you." God doesn't have to explain to you why things aren't going the way you would like them to go. He's sovereign. And He wants you just to give in to Him. Let it go. Just let it go. You'll have your reward on the other side. In Zechariah 8 and verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous of Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury." God is a jealous God, and He wants you for His own. He doesn't want to share you with any other. And Joshua, speaking to the people, said in Joshua 24 and 19, "The Lord, He is a holy God, and He is a jealous God." And Moses said in Deuteronomy 6 and 15, "For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you." And again in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 24, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." So Brother Bram continues, so make up your mind that God is an infinite sovereign and has a right to do as he pleases with his own. Remember, he's the potter, we're the clay. And he will not explain to you a thousand things that may puzzle your reason in his dealings with you. How many times do we say, oh God, why is this happening? What was this for? What does this all mean? And Brother Bram says, a thousand times he'll not tell you. We think of all the wonderful things that Brother Branham was shown by God for other people. But how much did God show him for himself? How many thousands of questions that he had on his mind did God leave him to suffer through? You see, he was a tool in the hands of God. He was here for you and I. He was here for the people. When it came time, when his wife was dead on the seat next to him, his leg was wrapped around the steering wheel. He said, Brother, Billy, put my hand on Mita. Billy wrenched his hand off the steering wheel, put it onto Mita. Brother Bram bowed his head and he prayed, and God restored her life. And Billy said, Daddy, let's lay your hands on yourself. He said, Son, it wasn't given for me. It wasn't given for me. When he had prayed for Brother Donovan Wirtz and the cancer dropped from his ear, when Brother Brandon was doing the praying, his ankle was swollen so big that the shoe, he could hardly wear the boot that he had on. It was just bulging over the boot. It wasn't given for himself. And you are not given for yourself. You're his. You're his. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. In John 5:19, Jesus said, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, that means truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. But what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. John 14:31, But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. John 15:10, If you keep my commandments, ye abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 12:49, For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And John 12:50, And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said to me, so I speak. And so Brother Branham says, God will take you at your word. And if you absolutely sell yourself to be his slave, he will wrap you up in a jealous love and let other people say and do many things that you cannot do or say. Jesus himself said in John 5:30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. So if he could do nothing by what the Father showed him to do or to say, Jesus was a complete prisoner of his Father. Not a prisoner out of fear, nor a prisoner out of something he had done wrong. But he was a bond slave of love to his Father. In Matthew 12:50, For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, my mother. In Matthew 7:21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In John 14:21, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself unto him. Then Brother Bram says, Settle it forever, that you are to deal directly with the Holy Spirit, and that he is to have privilege of tying your tongue, or chaining your hands, or closing your eyes in ways that others are not to deal with. Now, when you are so possessed with the living God that you are in your secret heart pleased and delighted over this peculiar, personal, private, jealous guardianship and management of the Holy Spirit over your life, you will have found vestibule in heaven. And a vestibule is an entryway. It's a place, it's a covering. You're inside the building. You're in the entrance. You're there. That means you will have found your place or entrance in heaven. For we are given access through Christ into this glorious liberty of God to walk in His Word and to become the very living, breathing Word of God incarnate among brothers and sisters in need of hope and life. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul says, "For you know not, for know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" In Ephesians 4:6, Paul said, "There is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." In 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? "Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own?" In 1 Peter 5:6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." In 2 Thessalonians 1:12, "That the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." And 2 Corinthians 1:21, "Now He which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us," it's God, is God. And Romans 5:13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." 2 Corinthians 13:11, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you." In 2 Corinthians 11:7, "Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely?" In other words, Paul letting us know that he abased himself to bring edification to the church. He made himself small that the people might be made great. And in closing, Colossians 2:6-12. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and builded up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him," not in mere tradition of men, "nor in vain philosophy, but in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. For in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Colossians 3:1-5. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with God, or with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. Then shall we also manifest in our true nature with Him in the same values, the same opinion, the same judgment. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." In other words, die, die, die to your flesh. And finally, in Revelation 3:21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I am overcame and am also set with my Father in his throne." In closing, at last, I would like to read Brother Branham's letter in its entirety. If God has called you to be like Jesus, in all of your spirit. He will draw you into a life of crucifixion and humility. And he will put on you such demands of obedience that he will not allow you to follow other Christians. In many ways, he will seem to let other good people do things which he will not let you to do. Other Christians and ministers who seem very religious and useful may push themselves, pull wires, and work schemes to carry out their own plans. But you cannot do it. And if you attempt to do it, you will meet with such failure and rebuke from the Lord as to make you sorely penitent. Others can brag on themselves, on their success, on their writings, but the Holy Spirit will not allow you to do any such thing. And if you begin to do it, he will lead you into some deep mortification that will make you despise yourself and all your good works. You remember when Brother Branham said there was two great men out of Kentucky, and he mentioned Daniel Boone and himself to his boy Joseph, and God brought him into such mortification of spirit. You see, that's what God wants in each and every one of us. Others will be allowed to succeed in making great sums of money and having a legacy left to them, or in having luxuries, but God may supply you daily because he wants you to have something far better than gold, and that is a helpless dependence upon him, that he may have privilege of providing your needs day by day out of the unseen treasury. The Lord may let others be honored and put forward and keep you hid away in obscurity because he wants to produce some choice, the fragrant fruit of his coming and glory, which can only be produced in the shade. God will let others be great but keep you small. He will make you work and toil on without knowing how much that you're doing. And then to make you still more precious, he will let others get the credit for the work which you have done. And this will make your reward 10 times greater when Jesus comes. The Holy Spirit will put a strict watch on you with a jealous love and will rebuke you for little words and feelings or wasting your time, which other Christians never seem distressed over. So make up your mind that God is an infinite sovereign and has a right to do as he pleases with his own. And he will not explain to you 1,000 things which may puzzle your reason in his dealings with you. But God will take you at your word. And if you absolutely sell yourself to be his slave, he will wrap you up in a jealous love and let other people say and do many things that you cannot do or say. Settle it forever that you are to deal directly with the Holy Spirit and that he is to have privilege of tying your tongue or chaining your hand or closing your eyes in ways that others are not to deal with. Now when you are so possessed with the living God that you are in your secret heart, pleased and delighted over his peculiar, personal, private, jealous guardianship and management of the Holy Spirit over your life, then you will have found vestibule in heaven. And may the God of all comfort be with all of you. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for this wonderful words which were spoken by your prophet. Oh God, I just pray that you would accept us, O God, as your servants, as your bond slaves of love, that we will not speak our own words, but only say what you have given us to say. We will not go but where you would have us to go. We will not do but what you would show us to do. May we be completely obedient to thee, and may we be trusting in thee for our daily bread. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's just sing, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace. And give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you, and give thee peace, and give thee peace. and give thee peace forever.
God bless you all.